Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. A full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
We will be able to speed up that day when all of us children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
We never dreamed and a change came, bring it alive. Obama, household name, pushing forward in a brand new way. Third world, let me keep singing them freedom songs. We got a spirit cause our God made it strong. Away with the promise, 30 acres and a mule. Nowhere in this to be so cruel. Standing for the belief like I lead. Fighting in an unknown zone. Put away that strife, bring our truth back home. I wish Pop was alive. See the best of day when the knees fell down and the tears broke down. Victory in the heart, so amazing where we start. In the midst of the pain, the rain came. Why does the seed preserve the same and not for the fame? World was led without much in fact.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky. Here ain't no lie.
Civil rights movement, how we went from the slave ships to the president. The dream of Dr. King is what we represent. Our mind clean, non-violent. We bring peace to the environment. And we love all men, women, and children. Not judging by the color of their skin. We blend, characterized by the content within. Equalized by the Constitution. Eyes on the prize to make a better union. Obama televised this revolution. Now we rise, high brother. Creeps and the lies for the solution. Open up your eyes, be free. As a bird in the sky by the grace of
God, I testify.
I'm free, like an eagle in the sky.
The fight, and one day we would never see the bloodshed fight and lose. And now we see the color lines of the red, white, and blue fly with no color lines. The reality to the vision of a sleep eye. Once trapped at the bottom, now we fly high. And God's not done yet. If sunrise is victory, to never show sunset. We've paid many years and tears, and thank God we trust, so it's already done. And we don't need a receipt for this one. You have to bring back. No, we
come free, like an eagle in the sky. There ain't no lie.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. 7:07, 7 minutes past 7 p.m. We'll be on until about 8:30 Central Standard Time, and we really appreciate you finding time to join us right here. That was music from Crosswalk Coalition, and you can find them on Facebook if you like them, and I really do. My son's a part of that group. My oldest son is, and the Crosswalk is it's under on Facebook. I had the time finding it, but it's the Crosswalk, then Coalition, Coalition, the Crosswalk Coalition, and they are a gospel rap group. I always like to try to display talent in our community, and for many different reasons, because that we are so multi-talented, and there are so many who have such potential that could make some tremendous contributions in this society. And I always do the best that I can to display that talent, and I really appreciate any individuals who might suggest any talented groups of people who would like to participate on the program. You can always call us at 347-945-7040, and or you can drop us a line at blakicz.1@gmail.com. And we'll let us take a look and listen at what you have to offer, and there's probably a great possibility that we'll be able to get you in and have you become a part of this, and even greater than that, far excel what my meager efforts are. But I really appreciate you being here with us, and thank you for joining us right here on the next phase of Ice and Friends. And right now, I want to offer. Some poetry. I've been doing my best. There are tremendous several different poet groups that meet on Blog Talk Radio, and I'll give you some information about some of those here in a few minutes. But right now, I want to share with you a group that that I've met online, and I really appreciate them sharing with me. Didn't have a chance to do much of their stuff last week. But I intend to share several poems, several pieces tonight with you. as we get into some other issues. We'll be right back. We're going to let this young lady introduce her group, and we'll provide the poem, the spoken word, right after this.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nip, host of Nip's Poetic Nook on PowTalk.com.
And I want to thank you, Chocolate Nips. Really appreciate that promo. And this paralegal, thank you as always. Really appreciate what you've done. Wonderful and professional lady who provided the intro initially. And then the follow-up with the Crosswalk Coalition, the T-H-E Crosswalk, C-R-O-S-S-W-A-L-K, Coalition, C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N, C-O-A-L-I-T-I-O-N. And you can find them on Facebook. Right now we're going to share some poetry with you from A. Smith featuring Brown Skin. This piece is entitled Black Man. We'll be right back right after this.
Black man, the complexion of strength and might, the forefathers of our creation, the epitome of greatness, the loins of majesty, reproduction. I can't say that I have been the best towards you, black man, and I will not say that I've always stood beside you, black man, yet know I adore thee for striving to be the best you can be while labeled and categorized from the system repeats to ignorant to thee. Yet, black man, I humbly bow before thee and acknowledge thee my covering of protecting serenity. Yet, black man, I know you do all you can, and you continue to make time for your responsibilities. Yet, I need to say to you, black man, I adore you for being patient with me and allowing me to see the worth of you, yet showing me and teaching me that there's so much more to you than stereotypical cliches of the snake between your legs. We all have been around the way sometime or another, whether last night or back in the day, and yet, black man, you have a mind of creation, a boldness of determination, the essence of royalty. The hurt of yesterday became a scar of today. We proudly peel away and see the pinkness of your DNA. And yet, black man, you are all human in all your ways. Forgive me and mold with me the greatness of two. Yet I can't disrespect you, black man, and call you my man, for you are more than men. I was taken from your sleeping shell, created from the bone, the rib used to shield and protect your heart, and yet I caused thee hurt. Forgive me, black man. I see you more than a boyfriend. I see you a king. I can't lay claim on any man, but rest humbly in your friendship, black man. The essence of tomorrow's future. Know that I couldn't function without you. We struggle together in this corporate structure. Infidelity, I stand true with thee, black man. I understand, black man, the process of submission and seeking you my covering, black man. Your skin able to radiate the energy of the sun and produce the production of farms. You are my hero. Your arms of muscle and legs of strength, callous hands, bent backs. You are my inspiration, black man. I felt alone and you showed me your solidarity through hours of endless talks. I understand, black man. You have a position to hold, although I hurt thee. Forgive me and allow me the chance to grow whole with thee in the presence of our enemies, filtering positive projection through covering and faith. I adore thee, black man, for the power of your being.
Bathing in the warmth of the morning sun, I wait for you. Bathing in the warmth of the morning sun, I wait for you.
man. Black man.
And I want to thank A. Smith featuring Brown Skin, and that was a piece called Black Man. And we'll get into there are a couple of guests that have popped in and popped out. One was the model, and one was Tea Party Paul. And I want to thank y'all for stopping through. And I want to thank all those people who follow us on, several people, a couple, three or four, five people that follow us on Blog Talk. Really appreciate you sharing with us. And we try to do some things a little bit different than some other shows. And I hope we can provide something for you that's a little bit different, something that may be informative and inspirational. And that poem actually came from this group. And let me share this group with you. And we'll be sharing more groups with you on Blog Talk Radio as well as several other sites that I frequent. And right now, let me let this lady speak for herself.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nip, host of Nip's Poetic Nook on PowTalk.com.
I really want to thank you, Chocolate Nips. I appreciate your input, and it is absolutely essential and valuable, tremendously beneficial, and very much appreciated. Tonight, I had a chance to visit in a room last night that had a topic. It was an open open forum chat room, actually, and what the idea was to bring some subjects of concern that people may have had about. May have had that they wanted to bring to the forefront, which you can do that here if you choose to. And the number to give us a call if you want to be a part of the show, 347-945-7040. And that's 347-945-7040. The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. And one of the topics that came up was, it was a tremendous topic, actually, was Medicare and how essential and significant it is right now, not only as a subject, but an impact that it could potentially, that it will have on individuals, including myself, as a matter of fact. I want to say that one of the reasons that I was so taken by that particular subject was I had an uncle just recently, who lived alone as I do live alone, but Mark will live alone, and I hadn't checked on him in a while, and I got a call from my hometown, and there was this lady. She was she's a nice lady and very I don't know what you might say excitable. And with very good reason to be excitable with the information that she provided me. She began to tell me that they have found my uncle laying in the floor. Now, I'm 59. He's 10 years older than me, so he's 69, almost 70. And he had been laying there for 3 days. And he was dehydrated, and he, had some other issues. And he was life flighted to a hospital that had the facilities that could provide some initial immediate recovery processes and procedures. And as he has one son who's 21 years old, and you can imagine I never anticipated these types of issues. But, in trying to give my cousin some information as to what he might, some of the options, one of the things, topics that came up was exactly the Medicare. Now, what was, and I've heard this on Harlem Radio. I'll look that up. Harlem Radio, we follow them and they follow us. But this guy, I've got a chance to listen to him. He does some real good stuff, very factual. very informative information about Medicare. But I hadn't, you know, I mean, I'm 59, hadn't thought about Medicare. I mean, I'm reasonably, you know, mobile and getting along fairly well. But these are some things that they may not impact you, you personally, but they may impact you indirectly by family members and so forth. So we were trying to determine how would the hospitalization be taken care of since my uncle didn't have insurance, for one thing. And, you know, he's a veteran. So, you know, these kinds of things, I'm really disappointed that I hadn't previously anticipated these things, but I live a full life as it is. So I've made a promise to myself, and I've visited with some individuals about trying to gain more information so that I can provide it for you in the future, or at least raise your awareness to the possibilities that there are some potentially extenuating circumstances that could arise that you could be maybe perhaps proactive about. And let me say, the lady that brought that forward was the Pretty Foot Woman, and it was in Miss Sincere's room. And we had a real lively discussion about it. There were some medical professionals in the room that could give us some insight and input. And you know, I would like to get more definitive information and provide it for you, and at least like I say, maybe heighten your awareness about the potential for these situations occurring. And as a matter of fact, who would have been, you know, a stroke is the farthest thing from my mind. But actually he had it, and there he was immobile. As a matter of fact, he's having to go into a facility for rehabilitation. Now, some of the insight was that the transportation from where he was to where he needed to be closer to my cousin, was about 170 miles. And that would have incurred an expense of $1,500. All right? So Medicare would have paid $750. The $750 outstanding would have had to have been met by the family. So I'm thinking, like, well, do you have $750 somewhere laying around that you can provide for your loved one or someone that you know, that may be real close in your life? And because that was the incident that was presented to us, and we had to address it. I was really reluctant, and you know, I work still, and I'm thinking at work and everywhere trying to determine how do I address this issue. Well, and I want to welcome guest 6618 to the room. In the process of evaluating this information, I took a little bit, took some time. It was over the weekend, and there were some communication problems. The individuals who were in charge of the care there at that facility, that hospital, they didn't contact me. I tried to contact them. No one knew what to do exactly. So my cousin had made the decision that he would just drive down and pick him up. Of course, he would have needed, you know, some fuel expense money. So, you know, he and I worked that out. But my point is that he saved, you know, a reasonable amount of money by having performed that service for himself, because my thought initially was that it was essential that he be transported by some type of a medical transportation. I didn't have a clue as to what the reasons were, and I didn't know, you know, I don't usually question that deeply about those types of things, especially when the incident is so immediate. Anyway, he got transported to a nursing home where he's going to be going through some rehabilitation. And as I had listened to Harlem, I got to get that name right. I'll get it right here in a second. But as I was listening to this guy, you know, he was saying that that Medicare would pay up to, I believe, 20 days, possibly. Most extensive was 100 days. And I believe it's Harlem Talk Radio. I'm not sure. I think that's it. But if you get a chance, I'll get that information and provide it for you. But I just wanted to raise your awareness about that. And there is such a concern right now politically with the issue of health care, Medicare, so forth and so on. And those are some, these are some things that, regardless to whatever else is going on in our lives, that we're going to really have to address, in my opinion. So I'll leave that topic for the time being, but I will not abandon it. I will return to it with more information, as a matter of fact, as I'm apprised of that information, because I will be pursuing it. And I would suggest that you pursue it as well. And if you get any information that you feel would be essential for us, like as I say, give us a call, 347-945-7040. So I'd like to say may God bless and keep my uncle and his family. He's had some extreme health concerns, and may God grant him a speedy and complete recovery. And also, this is a special time of the year, right? This is the end of May and the beginning of June. And what's happening now is I have a granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, that's getting ready to graduate high school. And so I don't know, you may have some loved ones that are getting ready to graduate high school, and maybe even grads or undergrads or whatever, or maybe there have been some, I think my little grandkids graduated from preschool into elementary school, I believe is what their graduation was. But, you know, I was thinking about that, and so I wanted to speak to that issue. So I wanted to say congratulations to all those, to all those graduating, and also to their families and friends. Give me a call if you choose to, 347-945-7040. Congratulations to all those graduating, and also to their families and friends. Congratulations to my oldest granddaughter. You made it. May God bless you abundantly with tenacity, endurance, and joy. And to all who graduated, I extend the same best wishes and congratulations to you and your families. For those graduating from high school, this is one of your first long-term commitments. All those mornings of waking up to be to school on time, all those times that you chose not to skip class, it's finally paid off. But that's just the beginning, right? So now all that's left is to determine what your college major will be, then getting ready to finish college or a university. So I'll say, and may God bless and keep you all, or whomever you choose as your higher power. Also, I'd like to take an opportunity to pause for a moment of solitude and utilizing whatever methods of spiritual focus you prefer. Personally, I'm a believer of and subscribe to the Christian faith. That's what I do. What you do is your business. Therefore, I would like to have just a moment of silence to pray for the losses of many families who've suffered loss in any form. A family's friend's property can be recreated, but human toll must be endured until the pain of loss is replaced by extreme sense of joy of the fond memories of the loved ones gone on. So if you don't mind, I'll take just a few seconds to give you a moment to reflect on all those injured over the in Joplin, Missouri, for instance, Oklahoma City, down along the path of the Mississippi River, and all those other places. People have been injured and have lost their homes, possibly loved ones, friends, neighbors, and just a moment of silence for those individuals, if you don't mind. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, because whatever belief you have, I've heard different discussions about certain beliefs and belief systems and so forth, and I'm open anytime for anyone who wants to discuss it. I'm not a person who avoids issues in regard to politics, religion, or any other issues. I enjoy the communications in every aspect, so that there can be some clarity, some opportunity and possibility made for discussions. And I think I have a phone call right here. Let me check to see. Hello? Hello, is anyone there?
Hello?
Hello? How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm blessed and grateful, and God bless you and yours, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend, you know. And I got your note.
Thank you. Good. I'm glad you got it. I was wondering.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And who I have on the line and is a friend until the very end is Miss Rabia Ahmed. And I so appreciate her and all her endeavors. And I can I will always, until I don't have enough breath, until I don't have any breath, exclaim about the effort that she puts forth for our community, because so many of us have an opportunity and we don't get involved with our communities, and she doesn't just think or speak about getting involved. She actually has made a commitment. Do you mind if I read part of this that you gave me?
No, I don't mind at all.
Okay, it says SMART Incorporated, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And it says mother, and in the O is an and child. And it says SMART Incorporated is a nonprofit organization that provides reentry and residual rehabilitation services to people suffering from addiction and co-occurring disorders. Our goal is to help women improve health and wellness, reduce risk of addiction, relapse, STDs, and violence. We also help to improve self-sufficiency, build and sustain healthy relationships, and strengthen families. SMART houses women and their children who are reentering from the forensic system or that are in need of addiction treatment. And she says, Sister Rabia Ahmed, her organization, SMART, our purpose. SMART desires to make a footprint and take leadership in providing services to disadvantaged mothers and children. Temporary shelter as well as other support services will be offered to women with children who are homeless, recovering from addictions, victims of spousal abuse, ex-felons, otherwise economically disadvantaged, or otherwise economically disadvantaged. No matter where your past has been, your future is spotless. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Is the same thing on the back that's on the front?
No.
Okay, let me read the back also, if you don't mind. Will you allow me that?
Sure, I don't mind.
Thank you. SMART, S-M-A-R-T, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse and addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as in English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for education and community integration. SMART Incorporated, Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, 19081. And the phone, should I give the phone number?
Sure.
Okay, phone, if you choose to call, it's 484, area code, 905-2027. And you can contact Sister Rabia online at smart2change@yahoo.com. SMART, the number 2, change, at yahoo.com. And again, SMART Incorporated, SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, Incorporated, Sister Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, 19081, phone 484. Is area code 905-2027. And the fax is 302-761-9019. Sister Rabia, how are you? Blessings again. Is everything going fairly well?
Yes. Everything is going pretty good. No complaints. We I was doing some research because there was a friend of mine who worked at the courts was had a conversation about teen pregnancy.
Ah, okay.
And I didn't know that teen pregnancy was such a big issue.
Right, right.
Until I started reading about it, and I know that they had did a lot of cuts and programs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the programs that was hardly cut was the prevention of teen pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
where last year, I think, their budget was $300 million across the country.
Right.
And this year, it was cut just 2%.
Right.
You know, so they see that there is still a need for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed as the statistics of the teen pregnancy across the country.
Right.
And so we started focusing on the teen pregnancy. And I actually interviewed a couple of girls.
Mm-hmm.
One was 14, and she's pregnant. And the other one was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just asking them questions, and it was really sad. It saddened me at a great length as to what their answers were. When a few of the questions were, one question I asked, why did you think that it was so important to have a baby?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, well, you know, nobody loved me. My mother was on drugs. I don't know who my dad is, so I just wanted something that would love me.
Right.
You know, and one of the girls I asked if she loved herself, and she said, no, I don't know how to love myself.
Right.
And that was alarming.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, hold on just a second. Would you let me invite someone else in here, okay?
Sure.
Okay. 404, are you here? Area code 404.
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Who am I speaking with, please?
This is James.
Hey James, how you doing? Welcome to the show. Was there any input that you had, or were you just listening, or?
Oh, I just came in late on the conversation, so I'll just listen for now.
Okay. Well, I'll just leave you online, and if you want to have any input, let me let Sister Rabia. I interrupted her rather rudely, but I didn't want you to feel as though we didn't notice you here. Would
okay.
that be okay with you?
That's fine. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Sister Rabia, would you go ahead then with what you were saying?
How you doing, James? That's a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay. You know I'm late. I don't know.
You know, it was just alarming as to, I didn't know, I, you know, mainly dealt with the single mothers who had children, and most of them mm-hmm. were, you know, over the age of 18. So,
mm-hmm.
and speaking with these teenagers
mm-hmm.
and just their way of thinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was, and I asked one girl, I said, well, did you ever think of protection? And she said, no, I never thought of protection, and I just wanted to have sex, and I just want to have a baby. And I said,
mm-hmm.
well, how are you going to take care of your baby? And she said, well, I'm going to do like my other girlfriends, and, you know, they get food stamps and, you know, pick up a welfare check, and it was just alarming as to their
right.
answers, you know, that
mm-hmm.
and that you know, in the different counties I looked at several counties
mm-hmm.
you know, in regards to teen pregnancy, and I had no idea there's a lot of it's going on in the high schools, some of it's going on in the middle schools, and now they're having daycare centers in some of the schools so that the girls can continue their education. So, you know, I just started doing a lot of research and see if we could come up with a program
Right.
To prevent teen pregnancy.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, you know what I was thinking as you were saying, see, to me, when you say alarming, that term is it has some ambiguity to it. It's like
mm-hmm.
alarming on the one hand means like, you know, it just makes me acutely aware.
Mm-hmm.
Alarming on the other hand to me means that I need, you know, when you hear an alarm, then you have to take some type of some type of behavior activity that would mitigate a certain circumstance. If it's a fire alarm, then you take measures to accommodate whatever those occurrences would be in regard to
mm-hmm.
a fire or something. And if it's a storm alarm, alert or whatever, you know, an alarm suggests. And I know that this is a situation of I would assume to be almost epidemic proportion.
Mm-hmm.
Especially among the our little sisters, the minority little sisters, and I can understand up to a great I can understand up to a point how these things are created, and you see all the little communities don't have the ability to be availed of information where that people can address their because to me it's on an intellectual level as well as an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when young ladies, what was the reason? And they wanted to be loved. Did you take any precautions? No, I didn't take any precautions. So obviously they hadn't been necessarily. Their level of awareness hadn't been heightened to the extent that they would take precautions not to either one be involved intimately with an individual at such a whatever their age was without having determined that they would be able to facilitate a decent set of surroundings for their offspring if that offspring if they were blessed to have that child. Another issue to me would be that, you know, I noticed you said in their STDs,
mm-hmm.
so they weren't aware even the possibility of having been exposed to a potential detriment, physical, if not even almost terminal in some instances. And you know, what we realize, what I know from where I am, and I hope, and I'm sure that you do as well as James, that the corporate media aren't addressing these issues for us. And, you know, you, to me, I'm only like a canary in the mine shaft. I'm only like trying to say, hey, you know, expose these issues, these opportunities, and the opportunities that you provide for recovery are tremendous. And, you know, I believe in as I was exposed to it in my recovery program, was PIC, prevention, intervention, and cure. The preventive aspects would be where we could provide, have conversations or a conversation with even with parents, concerned parents, and all parents aren't going to be concerned, you know, but where we have conversations or provide information for concerned parents, heighten their awareness, and also information and communications with individuals who are going to be exposed to these potentially really devastating circumstances, who are the young ladies, you know, finding themselves as well as the young guys who find themselves in these situations where that they have an emotional need because there's an unavailability to have that need provided from what you might say traditional external resources.
But not only that, they mm-hmm. they're not educated. These girls,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, they are not educated.
Right.
They're a lot of their mothers are not home, and you know, unfortunately, you know, they're on drugs themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no one is there teaching them. They have no life skill training, and
mm-hmm.
because it's, you know, their girlfriends are doing it, it's become a fad.
Well,
you know,
it's peer.
So
it's peer
yeah,
thing.
Right. You know,
it's,
so they they meet these boys, and to them, in order for them to keep these boys, and a lot of times the boys are drug dealers, you know, and a lot of this that is going on is in the low-income communities, you know, where they meet a guy, he's a drug dealer, he has a nice car, he has money, so they figure they'll get pregnant, and maybe he'll love them, maybe he won't, but the baby will love them, and the baby will be provided for, so they could show off the baby and things that the baby wear, and, you know, my baby daddy did, you know, bought this and bought that. It's just a fad. It's
right.
You know, they're not looking at the consequences, you know, that,
right.
You know, that you're missing out on education, that because you're uneducated, who's going to teach your child? And it becomes a cycle, because I hear it every day. I work in the prison.
Right,
so
right.
I see the results of these teenagers and their way of thinking. I see the results in the institutions.
Okay. May I ask you this? Can you identify the communities that are high potential, high risk potential for this type of situation? Let me throw this at you too. While you're answering that, and the reason that I'm asking is, do the leaders in the communities have a desire to be involved or engaged with either one, prevention, intervention, or providing, you know, rehabilitative?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The targeted population appears to be the African American communities that are low income. You know, just started doing some research on it, and that's what I see so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have a meeting to go to Saturday, you know, in regards, you know, to providing some type of workshop or support group, you know, for these teenagers. Because I see that, especially in certain parts of the county where SMART is, you know, they don't have anything for teen
right.
pregnancy.
Right.
You know, and this is one of the counties that, you know, it's a lot of girls, 14, 13, you know, up to 16 or 17, they're having babies. And it's not being addressed. It's not being addressed, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we could take some preventive measures in getting this problem addressed.
Well, let me ask you, James, do you have any contribution that you'd like to make? I mean, you just pop in there if you choose to.
Well, I'm listening. Quite frankly, I'm a cynic. I don't think there's any hope for them. Until they get a better educational system in our communities, it's shameful.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'm never a cynic, you know, because what I see when I see tragedy, on the one hand, I see opportunity on the other hand. And what the opportunity is, for instance, I got a note the other day, and I had forgotten all about this, right? I was at work. They offered us, they have us, you know, offer us opportunities to participate in the United Way.
Right.
Well, always, see, I grew up in the boys' club, and so I always make my contribution to the boys' club. And I was real surprised. I got a thank you note. This is the first time I've been working there for 33 years. This is the first time I've ever gotten a note from the boys' club director there.
Wow.
And said, thank you for the contribution. And I make my contribution to my local boys' club every year, you know. And it's not a humongous, not tremendous amount. But and one of the reasons that I do it is that, you know, I have to do more than just feel bad. You know, I have to do more than just think about it. I make a contribution here. And I was talking with a minister at our church where my mom, you know, where I pretty much went through ever since I was like 14 years old. And this is a young minister, same age as my oldest son. He's 40-something years old. And, you know, I was visiting with him, and he's going to be on sooner or later. I've asked him to, and, you know, to see if we can start doing some things on a community level. Because, you know, there was a – I heard Oluyami the other day talking about over in Miss Blue's room talking about the guy with the starfish, you know, the starfish all washed up on the shore. And so the guy was walking down the shore throwing one starfish in, another starfish back in the ocean. And this guy came up, him and his wife, I guess, and they walked up and they go, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, you see all these starfish?" And they said, "Yeah, there's hundreds of them." And he said, "Well, you know," he said, "I'm just trying to get them back in the water." And they said, "Are you crazy? You never get all those starfish. You know, you never get all those starfish back in the water." And he said, "Yeah, I know." And he picked up one and threw it. He said, "But I got that one back." And, you know, that's to me the way that I am. I feel that I may not save everybody, and I may not do everything for everybody, but I'll sell for one, you know, or two, or three, or ever how many I can sell for, because, you know, the thing that I think that what I found in visiting with my culture and my ethnicity is value, and that's the reason why I feel that I see so many of our brothers and sisters incarcerated is because they don't value themselves. I mean, you know, when a brother can say, "Oh, I got 5 years, ain't no problem." I mean, 5 years, you can do a lot in 5 years. But if you have that belief that you're worth 5 years worth of investment of yourself, now how do you do it? There has to be some individuals who are willing to be what you may call mentors, or what you may call, surrogates or advocates, you know, that are willing to, step up and say, "Hey, here's what I want to do, and any of y'all that want to be a part of it, you're welcome. And any of you that want to be detractors, we'd appreciate it if you wouldn't even get yourself involved." You know, because I've been a president of NAACP before, and I got a chance to start a youth group in my community before. And we had anywhere from 9 to 18-year-olds. And, of course, the 18-year-olds are the ones that got elected to be presidents, vice presidents, treasurers. And, I mean, they were nice-looking kids, sharp kids, and they strutted around. And, you know, immediately what I got a chance to do was visit with them and ask them, "Okay, y'all got elected as the, the upper echelon in the club. Now, will you do me a favor?" And they're like, "What?" I was like, "Let's try to get the youngsters organized and involved." So we started a little homeless. That was back when people needed food or people needed clothes or whatever. And the young ones, you know, we had them bring whatever they could bring. And I wanted them to understand that if they brought a can of peas, it may not be anything to them, but a can of peas to someone that's hungry can make a big difference in their life and in their perspective. And even if you see an old lady walking and she's trying to get up on the curb, I mean, and that's power. And a lot of kids think they don't have power because they're not driving the Benzes or they're not wearing the bling or, you know, but they don't understand that you have the power to provide that other individual with some inspiration, positive reinforcement. And so, you know, hopefully then, see, peer tutoring works both ways. You can peer tutor to have people start dealing and selling and you know, giving it up. Or you can peer tutor and have people start being exposed to some, you know, whatever, meetings. Where did we get together? Because one of the things that I did was I went to, and I've told you this, I think Sister would be, "Hey, Alpha, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the room." And you know you're welcome to call if you feel like it. There's somebody with their hand up. What happened? Brother James, yeah, you still there?
Yeah.
Let me see. 347-945-7040 is the number to call, and I have 317. I'm going to put you on the line. Are you here? 317? Hello? 317. Uh-huh. Are you here? 317? Anyway, I'll leave you on the line. Maybe you'll hear it sooner or later. Thank you for calling in. But what I was going to say is what I did was in the town that I'm from, it's a little bitty country town. I live in rural West Texas. And, you know, most of the people, individual, most of the, and let me say that I'm not really, I'm for everybody virtually, but there is a very distinct difference between, quote unquote, white and black out this way, and as well as Hispanic. And I don't call them races because we're all one race. It's just cultures or ethnicities or colors fundamentally. But anyway, I went to the newspaper guy. He's a very conservative guy. And I had some exposure to him from a distance and so forth. And Sister Rabia, you remember me telling you about this?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I went to the newspaper guy, and I said, hey, dude, you know, I went in there, you know, kind of milling around like, you know, I'm shook up and all this stuff. And he kicked back in his chair. I had asked for an appointment. He kicked back in his chair, put his feet up on his desk, bumping his fingers together. And I started telling him, dude, you know, I mean, I called it by his name. I said, look, you know, we're having some problems in our community, right? Teenage pregnancy, drug use, dropout, you know, incarceration, whatever. And he was like, he kind of almost not really smiled, but, you know, he nodded and, you know, yeah, I understand. I said, and that's on a national level. I said, what I'd like to do is to change things on a local level. I said, would you be willing to assist me? And he was like, he's startled. Like, what can I do? I'm like, dude, I said, you run a newspaper, and would you take a few pictures and put us in there on a positive with a positive image so we can start building on that? And also, I'd like to bring some kids up here and let them look at how your operation runs. And the dude was like, well, yeah, sure, you know, because I got exposed to radio when I was 18 years old, and I watched the DJ run a board, and I was like, I can do this. And in my hometown, I did radio for a little while, and I wanted kids in that town to realize, well, if that fool can do this, I can do it. You know, because, you know, there is, and it's the same with poetry, you know, there is so much creativity in us that's been stifled. And, you know, Sister B, I was sharing with you about that linguistic, what it was, neuro-linguistic programming?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, and what it is as a man thinketh, so is he. You know, and if I think that I can't do anything, if I think that I can't make a contribution, if I think that I can't get involved, if I think that it's so depressing that, you know, then I won't submit, I won't commit, I can talk myself out of it. And if I get around another bunch of brothers, we all talk each other out of it. So I don't like hanging around with those kinds of guys. I mean, I like them. They're brothers. But you know, for me, hey, got to be me. Welcome to the room. Good to see you. And you're welcome to call 347-945-7040. And, you know, the point of it is that no matter how small, you know, the contribution is, I was talking with that minister. And Sister Rabia, you know you just have to jump in here. You know.
I'm listening to you.
You know.
Not like interrupt.
Jump in here, man. Get in here. I mean, I'm telling you, bro, this is what I do. This is the way we do it on this thing. We got 31 minutes left to go, man. I mean, I do this for an hour and a half every Thursday, and you're welcome to come and be a part of it. Sister Rabia, I just love her. I really, really love this lady. I really appreciate her. I think so much of her. But anyway, I was talking with the minister, and you know, there's a scripture about these individuals that got talents from God. You know, one got, you know, a lot of people don't believe in God. I understand. I'm just saying, let's use it as a parable then. If you don't believe in God, just use it as a parable. But some got five talents, I think. Some got two. The ones that got five got them double. The ones that got four, two, whatever it was, got them double. The one that had one talent hid it, didn't want to use it. And I tell my kids, my grandkids, and anybody that'll listen, when I get called out of here, and if you believe in God like I believe in God, you believe whoever you believe in, no problem. when he looks at my talent, he's going to be like, what was this that I gave you? I can't, man, this is tore all up, because I'm aware of the one thing that I got out, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, but, mm-hmm. and I think that we all have something that we can make a contribution with. And you know, that's all I am about. That's what I do. That's what I love. And you know, so, Brother James, you know, I'll never be discouraged. And
you know, I just feel like it's a conspiracy all the way around, you know, from the media to what our kids see. I mean, like, I know a lot of people sell drugs. But one thing about them, though, is that they try to, you know, they don't let the kids, you know, they tell the kids, well, look, man, this ain't what you want to do. But I've seen a lot of guys, you know what I'm saying, they perpetrate that kind of lifestyle.
Right, right.
And then, you know, I mean, like, okay, let's say a kid has a kid. You know, I just feel like somebody instilled in them that, hey, this is what you don't want to do. This is where you raise your kid. There's got to be some kind of censorship in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, just take common sense. You know, I'm a believer of freedom of speech, but I just don't think the White House was the proper venue for that type of language.
The say it again, the what now?
The White House. When he was at the White House.
Was the proper venue for?
For that type of language he was using in his poetry.
Oh, you mean common?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, it just got to be some limits drawn somewhere. I see what you're saying.
Well, see, I didn't get to hear the actual poem, but can I say something?
Yeah.
All right, here's what I do when I hear that, and I understand it. There are brothers that, there are people that went to Juilliard School of Music, right?
Yeah.
And they went to some of the most phenomenal universities and colleges, and they learned to play just awesome players. I mean, they, you know, concerto, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff, right? And then you got brothers that were just with the beatbox, you know, beats, what do you call them, fat boys.
Yeah.
You know, these brothers didn't have all of that stuff, but they made whatever, they took whatever that they got and they turned it into something that was tremendous, that was awesome. And, you know, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, we may not, you know, I'm going to fight regardless of what I'm fighting with, but I'm going to keep it moving going forward. And common is common. Common is repping common. I'm repping me. I'm Black Ice on here. I'm repping me. That's what I do. I can't look at common and get discouraged by what he's doing. What I have to do is say, well, it's like me and corporate media. I really have a problem with corporate media, although I feed a lot off corporate media because I get their stories and I rearrange them because they give me one perspective. They may have five host guests on there, but each one of those five guests represents one specific perspective, one experience. They don't have a multitude of experiences made available to us. So what I do rather than to complain about corporate media is I do this. I say, well, heck, you know, I just start my own thing. And the heck, you know, corporate media is going to do its thing, and they're like Brother Alpho does his thing. I mean, we out here, and we struggling, man. I mean, we out here doing what we do, and you know, I understand any brother and sister that's so dismayed and so distraught and so weary and worn down. But I mean, dude, I just got off work, and I'm gonna have to go back here as soon as I get off the show and do a few things. But the point of it is I ain't going to quit. I mean, I can't quit on my grandson. I got a grandson that's 5 years old. You know, I can't quit on my granddaughter that's 18, getting ready to be 19. I can't quit. I got grandkids 15, 16. I can't quit, you know, because if I quit, they'll quit. They look at me and say, well, you know, dad ain't going to do nothing. Grandpa ain't going to do nothing. Well, what they're going to see from me is when I look in their eyes, I'm looking at scientists, and they know. I'm looking at lawyers. I'm looking at architects. I'm looking at engineers, doctors. When I look in any kid's eyes, that's what I see. I don't see a drug dealer. I don't see a convict. I don't see a criminal. I see the best that their kids got to offer. That's what I see. And that's what he's going to hear from me. What, am I wrong? What happened? But anyway, I mean, you know, bro, that's the way I roll out here. And I mean, you know, that's just the way I am. Because, man, you know, there is no way that I'm going to let anybody that I'm around, and if the conversation gets too bad for me, I walk off because there's no need for me to stay. I'm not going to argue with anybody.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
But I'm going to find, like, if you and me and you say, well, hey, man, look, let's, you know, we're going to do some figuring. We're going to do some looking around. We're going to do some trying to come, get with Sister. I mean, Sister Rabia, man, I'm telling you, you know, is an amazing person. Trust what I'm telling you. She has taken what I'm talking about and put it in the play, made it, manufactured it, and she's got it going. Was smart. Actually, it's practical. It's actual. You can put your hands on it. You can feel it. So will I make a contribution to Sister Rabia? Absolutely. Will I encourage Sister Rabia? Absolutely. Will I promote her every chance I get? Is there anything I can do to help her? Whatever I can. I mean, if I'm not going to do it and somebody else is doing it, I'm going to support them. I'm not going to lay down and say, well, Sister Rabia, I don't see, you know, why you even, if I were you, because she ain't going to go for that, no way. Hard-headed. You know how them women is.
Yeah.
Hard-headed.
Dang.
But, you know, and what I'm saying, it's some, like, you know, I'm going to tell you, if I can see, got to be me, he's gone, but Brother Alpha, man, that's a powerful brother. I mean, you know, we out here, man, I ain't backing down, man. It got to be me. She's back. I know she can't hear me. She is having all kind of sound problems. But that's a tough sister, man. There's some powerful, powerful sisters out here. And oh, I was listening to Nikki Love the other night. There is some more sisters on here. Oh, Sister Indy Declare, Sister Navazar, Sister Miss Quiet Storm. Miss Janice Graham. Hey, there's some powerful, bodacious sisters out here. I mean, you know, you can look at her, oh, she's fine. I says, hey, I'm going to tell you what, intellectually, these sisters ain't no toy. They ain't nothing to play with. And I mean, you know, like daughters, granddaughters, my ex is a bad, serious couple, hardcore. I mean, you know, and it's, I appreciate, respect, adore, and admire them, and I just, you know, because they doing stuff out here, and I got to do something. I got to swing some kind of way. You know what I mean? So, you know, but I'm just saying, bro, that don't give up. You know, if you want to come, I appreciate it. I really thank you for calling in, and man, you're welcome anytime. You hear me?
Excuse me a second. Yes, I want to ask James a question. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Why do you think that there's no hope for them? I mean, because if everybody felt that way, then it wouldn't be any hope for them. You don't think that there's nothing that could be done?
Well, it's not that I don't think there's no hope. There's always hope. However, you know, just within our community, you know, take politics, for instance. You know, when I listen to morning radio, I don't hear the disc jockeys talking about the political situation that's going on in this country. You realize they're getting ready to try to take away our Medicaid and Medicare? You know? I mean, like, these people out here, they ain't playing with us. It's going to be the haves and the have-nots, and we've always been on the have-not side.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see these pro athletes out here, you know, they're making all this money, and they're on TV with their bling-bling and their big cars, how many community centers do they fund? You know, how many Head Start programs do they start? How many of these big rich preachers out here, their big mega churches, I've never heard of them funding any daycare center, but even for the women or the men that are trying to advance themselves in society. You know, I mean, like, and it's all fine and well to have money, but if you don't do nothing with it, I figure you just lost.
Hmm.
You know, it just saddens me when I turn on the TV, you know, every day I hear about another murder or another killing. And it's usually somebody between 20 and 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It just saddens me. And what is it?
Where are you? Community? Where are you, James?
I'm in Atlanta.
Oh, really? Okay, A-Town.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, well, I don't see anybody, you know, trying to help. And then the brothers that do try to help, they shoot them down. You know, I've never heard anything good to say about, you know, Al Sharpton, he ain't the best.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, he all we got.
You
know, I mean, like, take Jesse Jackson. You know, I used to love Jesse Jackson until I heard him call my brother to tell my brother he needed to cut his nuts off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I got to get a cat room to back off, man. You know what I'm saying? I got to give him some room to back off. And you know, if Jesse still feel the same way, you know, because all of us, the one thing about it is that we go through evolution, I think, evolutionary processes, and we're going to grow, you know, but that's the reason why I said I give up on you right now, but not forever, you know, because, I mean, not you, I'm talking, you know, I give up on a brother right now, but not forever, you know, we'll communicate again, and hopefully we'll have some more communications but I've been involved in conversations, man. There was a brother, man. This dude was a barber, and man, this dude had a man. He was down there like that, man. He'd be up in your ear, man. He was a nice looking dude, dressed nice. And I was talking to some of my partners where I come from, and I'm from the country, man, straight up country, and I mean little bitty towns, rural. And I was saying, man, we can do this. Man, that white man ain't going to let you, man.
Oh, man, I hate to hear people say that. You know, when I was coming along in the world, it was about more power to the people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Black power. You know, I mean, like Angela Davis used to wear the big afro.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I mean, back when, you know, I mean, like, you know, when we were struggling, you know, for equality, mm-hmm. you know, then we got equality, and it looks like we went straight down as a people.
Hold on.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just, I don't know, man. I'm just discouraged, you know. I just try to do my own thing.
I understand, man. I understand, but I'm just saying, hey, bro, I'm not one of these dudes that what you call euphoric. You know, I don't see any, you know, I'm just total optimistic. I don't see any. But you know what? I don't see an obstacle. Here's I listen to my brothers and my sisters say, we're the descendants of kings and queens. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If we're the descendants of kings and queens can do whatever we need to do, whatever we have to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, there, you know, if I got to walk up to a brother that's balling, you know, and everything, and I mean, I want to have a way to present a program to this brother. Look, dude, you know, at least put something on his mind, and whatever the way is that we can do it. For instance, I'm in Texas, you're in the ATL.
Yeah.
Sister Rabia is up in Pennsylvania. I mean, and Brother Apple is up in Illinois. I mean, we're doing it right about now. You understand? I mean, it's happening right about wherever anybody is that listens to us. We're doing it right about now. And if I hear of it going on anywhere, then I'm going to do my best to stick it out there where everybody can get a hold of it. You know what I'm saying? But, no, I don't. Man, in the ATL, oh, man, yeah. You know, I don't know. I've been down there before a lot, you know, several times, but when as a matter of fact, I got on one of them shows. You know when they used to have that show that was down in the lobby of the CNN building?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I was on that show one day.
Yeah, I know, but what it's called.
Yeah, you know, they don't do it anymore. But you know, there is CNN, and there is. But these guys are so big, they're like, you know, people get mad at Oprah. Oprah's so big, she couldn't get into little bitty things that we can get into. But here's the point. She left that vacuum, and we have to fill it. Dude, there is some creativity that you have. I don't know what it is, but when you mix it with something else, with mine or your or Sister Rabia's or somebody's, it has the potential to be tremendously explosive in a good way. And to me, that's all I see, man. I don't really almost see obstacles anymore. I only see it, what I say is this. When I was getting clean off drugs and alcohol by God's grace, because of the 12-step program, so forth and so on, using drugs was not an option for me anymore. I got one dry date. That's the 22nd of August, 1988,
mm-hmm.
by God's grace, one day at a time. But failure is not an option to me.
No, failure is not an option. Huh?
No. You know. So I'm telling you, Jay, I hope, you know, we get a chance to stay hooked up, bro, and man, I hope and pray that you know, there's other programs on here. Like I say, I was going to run down a list of them right quick, and then we got like 15 more minutes, so I'm going to just run down this list of programs right quick that's on here. Sister Indy Declare, she's on every day, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. And Sister India Declare, and you can, she got the real raw right now. Sister Navazar, she's on Sunday 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sister Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, Saturdays at 10 p.m. 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Brother Alpha, 2 p.m. Saturdays, Truth Works Network. Miss Quiet Storm, you got to check her out. She's www.missquietstorm.com. That's all one word, MSQUIETSTORM.com.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Facebook and all that. And there's a Dr. Reba who did the Covenant Connection, Your Best Marriage Now. She's www.rebahaley.com. She's a professional, a seminary individual, a person who's well-versed in finances and all this kind of stuff. Then Love Productions Incorporated, Nikki Love. She's on 9 p.m. Well, I can't remember when her show is, but you put it in the search block, Nikki Love. Love Production, I believe, is the name of her show. I listen to it. It's a cool show. I like it. D-Poetess, D-P-O-E-T-E-S-S, D-Poetess, original Poetry After Dark, Tuesdays, 10 p.m., 12 a.m. Central. Tuesday, Friday and Tuesdays is when she's on.
Mm-hmm.
Harlem Talk Radio, that's the one I was talking about. That is one, if you get a chance, check it out. That's Thursdays at 2 p.m. And also, it comes on at a different time. I caught it at a different time. Of course, my buddy Keith Overman, I like that cat, and he's on Current TV if you get a chance to check him out. But anyway, those are some of the shows that come on Blog Talk Radio. And I always have to mention Sister Rabia Ahmed and SMART Incorporated, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And I just wish her phenomenal success. But Brother James, let's hook up one of these days, man, and see what we can kick around. How about that? Would that work?
Like, well, no, you know, I'm always game. I'm always open for something positive, man. You know, I mean, there's just so much negativity in the world right now, and it all starts at the grassroots level.
You know what? Absolutely. See, and that's where we are. I mean, this right here is just a platform. I mean, and I appreciate Blog Talk Radio, you know, for letting me and these the other ones of these. We're just a very diverse community. I mean, you got anywhere from the far right wing to the far left wing and everything in between. You got the breast and the neck and the legs. You know. They got pretty much everything. You know, I like the program over here. I enjoy myself, have a good time. But James, though, seriously, brother, you know, catch me here, or my email is blakicz, all one word, blakicz.1@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And holler, man, because I really appreciate you giving a call through. And Sister Rabia, she knows how I feel about her. And it's 317. She says, I believe if this is who I'm thinking this is. 317 says,
I ain't got her no more.
There she is. You wouldn't say anything. I've been asking you to talk.
I know you weren't talking to me.
Yes, I was.
To the conversation. Matter of fact, I didn't even know I was here.
Yeah, you've been here.
I've been here a long time.
I heard somebody laughing. That must have been you.
I've been here a long time. I've been here ever since the young lady was speaking about teen pregnancy. I just listened to the conversation.
I heard you
good
laughing.
Good evening.
And that's Miss Sincere.
Welcome to the show. Miss Sincere, she's on out of the place over there. I don't miss
her,
but I will, you know.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
She is so discouraged. She got to think positive. He said there's no help. There's no such thing as no help.
That's right.
Because he is the help. He's the key to the help.
Well, that's right. And you know,
But the biggest, I'm going to say this real fast because I know it's almost time to go. But the main problem is not so much as us as adults. It's today's world. The adults today are basically, they are, how do you put it?
Going and calling with
children, raising children. Because you have mothers today that are, you can even say 50 years old, but you can just take the 40-year-old and up.
My grandmother's is 30.
Right, and I mean, they got children. Now, look, they have children that are 18, 19-year-olds. And they're only 40-year-olds themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they, number one, they are still interested in their own freedom. They're not interested in being called grandmother. See, we had grandparents that took care of us, looked after us. We had a village. Now, listen, had a village that took care of all of us. Today, that village all think alike.
Yeah,
you know what
yes,
it is?
Ma'am,
they're all
no, ma'am,
for themselves.
Yes, sir. No, sir.
You know.
Uh-huh.
See, it's a different village out there now. See, that village that's out there now, they're all about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all them children, believe it or not, are almost the same. So it's a whole lot of them and a very few of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it just takes a handful of us to try to take care of or grab hold of some of those that really, really want to come out. So you got those that want to come out.
That's right, exactly.
And you can do it. And you know what? What's your name? Young lady.
Rabia.
Miss Rabia. You know what? I don't remember the program, but there was a program years ago. Because what you're speaking of, I was trying to figure out, I'm saying, now, where is she at? She was saying that she didn't realize this was happening. It was alarming. It's been going on for so long. They had a program years ago. I can't think of the name. It was called OUNCE, something OUNCE, prevention or something. That was a grant that they gave to teen mothers. And that was in the, I want to say early 90s, but they. It was in the early 90s, but they did dissolute See, that's a prime example right there. young people with little children. But
But
that program was so long ago, and they did cut it. Let me tell you something. There are a few grants out there. You just have to kind of look for them that can kind of help you out. But if it was something that you just want to do on your own, it just takes a little bit. You can just get yourself and get a couple of them. If you find a couple of somebody to work with you, and you can just get a couple of girls. All it takes is two or three. If you reach one out of that three, you're home free because she's going to pass it on, and then they're going to pass it on. And it just shows them there's other things that do. But once they have that child, see, it's nothing we can do now. That child is here. So what you got to do now is show them how to maintain themselves and this child. There's other things, other ways to go, other than, quote unquote, the welfare way, and that they can still get education.
Yeah, well, they're making it now. It's not going to be free anymore.
Because the funding is getting cut for a lot of those things. And they're just like James said, they're not making that available anymore. And with my company, we were just focusing on the single mothers, and everybody was over 18. So because this was brought to our attention through the media courthouse, you know, about this epidemic of teen pregnancy, I just never went in that direction or any of my partners. Mm-hmm. We were like, wow, you know, because we were focusing on one aspect and reentry, the women coming out of prison and, you know, becoming unified with their children. So this is another whole entity now with this teen pregnancy. And once I looked at the budget and saw that there is like $300 million allotted for teen, you know, the prevention of teen mm-hmm. pregnancy in our budget. And I said, wow, this must be really serious. And then that's when I started doing my little research and finding out, you know, just how serious it is. Yeah. You know, but my focus wasn't on the teens. You know, but I and
you gotta
now
go
that
a little further. You gotta come. I'm not gonna say go up, but you gotta come a little further down because mm-hmm. it's not so much on a teen pregnancy scale anymore. We're talking about 9, 10, 11 year old kids.
Right.
9, 10, 11, and 12 year old girls.
Right.
And
right.
you know, and the bad part about it, it's really sad in that case. It's really sad. And really, I'm gonna say that. I'm just gonna do say this real fast about a young lady I know. This young lady is, it goes back to the system. I can follow where James is going, but the system is kind of bad because it's not helping us either.
It's setting us up to fail. It's
right. We had a case. Young lady was in the system. When I say in the system, she was in a foster care, in a foster home. But the bad part about it, foster home was a parent, was a relative. But this young lady. Ended up becoming pregnant, 11 years old.
Wow.
Okay, now, when it all got through going around, I'm just going to take it a short way around, it ended up in the court, and it was a decision on what to do. So now, when they asked her, you know, she kind of played a nut role. Well, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? So when it came back from the psychology report, well, they said, well, you know, you really can't do too much because she really don't understand. So then it came back again, and then they said, they think she does. So in a court's ruling, this judge ruled this young lady should have an abortion, okay? Now, that was their ruling. Now, you know, they didn't call in the parents. They didn't bring the parents or the parents in or anything like that. You know, this was their decision. Now, they're mm-hmm. always in court on everybody is going to court. They ended up giving this little girl an abortion. She ended up getting it. But the thing, the sad part about it is this. She was a smart, young, 11-year-old, okay? And she is at the point now, this goes back where James say, he don't believe there's no hope. But she's still back in the system. She has a new foster parent. But she is, you know, well, I know we all adults. You know, you're the old saying, you know, you get a little taste and ain't no going back, you know.
Yeah.
So she knows what it's all about. So now she's at this point where she has a boyfriend. What do you mean you got a boyfriend? You're 11 years old. You're supposed to be talking about going to school. And then she gets mad at her parents, because she do see her parents and her grandparents, that they tell her she can't have this and that. She wants to have Facebook, and she wants to do this. So she lashes out at her, well, I say her grandparent, because that's where her father lives. That's where she goes on the weekend. Her and her brother, she got two brothers, all three of them go there. So when she rebels and don't want to go, then nobody goes. But you know the bad part about it? The system looks at her as if she's an adult and she can do what she want to do.
Let me interrupt you just for a second right quick.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to the rest of this conversation if you call us at 347-945-7040.
You know what?
347-945-7040. And otherwise, you can catch us on archive because we're getting ready to go off the live feed. So, but go ahead, Ms. Sincere, with your story, please.
Well, no. I'm just saying how the system holds you up too. The system would do that to you. But technically, with that young lady, I really hated, well, I don't say, I hated to see her. What a child. Period. But you know what? The best thing for her, she should have had it. And they should have made her show her the responsibility. Because, you see, if they don't do something about her, she's going to continue on and she's going to have another one. Once, you know, you do the prevention, I'm doing this real fast, you get the prevention to show them there's other things out here than having children. So you try to catch them before they have them. But when they have them, you have to show them the repercussion of having them.
Their consequences.
There you go. And that's it. So that's where you start.
You know, it depends where you find them. I mean, where you find individuals, youngsters. And the school systems, you see, we have to me as a culture, realize that we have to address so many issues at so many different levels. For instance, the school system. You know, we have to be in a position where we can address the school system and ensuring that the children get an adequate education or they have, you know, what you call advocates, someone who represents them. And to me, Sister Rabia is already established in Pennsylvania. And I'm hoping that as she begins to develop her program, that she will consider franchising. Looking into, and I'm sure she will. But of course, you could spend all of you could just go through different cities and communities in Pennsylvania with your program. But you know, there. Hopefully, you listening to me, Sister Rabia?
Yeah.
But what program is she trying to enlist?
She already has an established program, SMART, Smart Incorporated.
Okay, yeah, I heard. Mm-hmm. I was listening to
it's
that.
It's a nonprofit organization, and it provides. I'll tell you about it here in a little while.
I listened to it and heard about it, and that's a nice program. They mm-hmm. have a program, something like that. I've seen in Chicago. They even have took some apartments. And rented, you use them and rehab them and use them for mothers and children to bring or put them back into the community. And I thought that was really nice. Yeah, that is a nice program.
What I'm thinking is that, you know, I'm hoping that this is God's will. I can retire in a couple of months or so. But I'm hoping, as you know, that Sister Rabia can look into, you know, providing training and for people here who might have, you know, and venture her corporation down this way or where you are, Ms. Sincere, or where James is in ATL. And what I'm saying is it's phenomenal.
I'm looking to franchise, you know,
for everybody.
Also, Ms. Sincere, our programs are in Spanish as well. I had one of my partners two of them that are Hispanic, you know, once they started working with SMART, and they were like, you know, hey, Rabia, we need this in Puerto Rico, you know. And so they started doing some research about the single mothers in a teen pregnancy in Puerto Rico. And that I was surprised again, you know, because I don't deal with, you know, Puerto Rican, so I wouldn't know. I was mainly concentrating, or I had to start in my own county first before I could, you know, explore. So, but as the more research that's coming along, that's why our program is in English as well as it is in Spanish, because that's another population that hasn't really been tapped into yet, because they were a community that was within the community. They didn't really go outside of their community for help. When things happened, girls got pregnant, it was hush-hush. When some of the wives were abused, it was hush-hush. But now they're coming out more because they feel comfortable that some of these programs that now are in Spanish. And you have Spanish counselors and you have Spanish therapists. And, you know, you have people that are equipped to help them, you know. So I'm happy about that, too.
Let me say right quick, I'm just jumping in here. Don't lose your train of thought. You know how I am. But anyway, there was a lady where my ex
works the county that she works in. She's an educator. This lady was Hispanic. She, as a matter of fact, she taught people how to, you know, do the grant and so forth thing. But anyway, she started a program there, and it was a program that taught people who spoke Spanish English, and allowed and also provided some training for people who were just, you know, unilingual in English to learn a little bit of Spanish where they communicate with each other. And my ex used to work for her. So, I mean, you know, there is so much need. I mean, the need creates opportunity. There is so much need, and there are so many people who really don't care about our community. And that's the reason why there, and as Brother James was saying earlier, there is a concerted effort right now politically to curtail any assistance. And what it does, if you don't curtail the problem, then it just explodes, and it just gets more and more epidemic. But, you know, in my opinion, we can, because there are several different levels. The actual practice of being involved with individuals as far as young individuals being intimate, that has to be addressed. Then prior to, there has to be, you know, addressed the self-esteem and the issue of valuing yourself. And, you know, and then, you know, but some people are put in environments that they have no control over, and they get taken advantage of in those environments. 11-year-old child, there's no way that 11-year-old child should have been. I mean, and I'm not knocking the parent. I'm just saying that parent could have had the work, and she could have asked an individual to pick up her daughter or whatever, and then there could have been a friend of the individual that picked them up. You don't know, and these kids are exposed. And so, you know, we have a lot of opportunity and to do things that can improve a lot of people's lives, you know. So I'm just saying that, and that's the way I look at it. I don't look at it as it being, oh, it's dismal, oh, it's no way. I look at it as that, you know, If Mrs. Sear has an interest, if Sister Rabia, if James has an interest, I have an interest, then there are four individuals who have an interest. And as we expand,
I'm gonna cut in on your one thing too, because what you say makes a lot of sense, and you can't blame a lot. But then again, as James says, the system has a lot to do with it. And and right now, you know what? Really, all
I don't agree with that. You know what?
When you want to go back to the roots of stuff, this is where it's going to start. And you want, if we're going to use education is the root. And when I say root, I don't mean that they got to teach us, our children, you do this, you do that. It starts with basic education. They got so far away with education that it's physical. If half these kids cannot read, the basic is reading, writing, and arithmetic. If you can read, if you learn to comprehend what you're reading, you're good to go. You'll get everything else. But if you don't learn to comprehend, you lost. So once they comprehend, they can go out there. You can give anybody that's of concern, you can give them a book, any type of literature. They're going to read it. You're going to say, oh, how you know that about that? I read it. You read it, I understood. That's where the key is, comprehending what they read. And until the education system get there, they're going to always be lost. And the education is going to the dogs. I don't care what nobody say. They can say what they want to. Every time you turn around, they're closing all these schools down. They only got a few. They're only worried about the ones that's going to excel. But that's where it starts. They need to go back to reading, writing, and arithmetic.
But you know what? My daughter is a teacher, and she works with you wouldn't call them remedial, you would call them, they don't have any problem with intelligence, but they have had, you know, discipline problems.
She teaches special ed?
Not special ed, but those who've had problems, discipline problems or whatever, that really don't seem to care. And see, to me, she and I, we've talked, and I, you know, my mom was a teacher. Her mom is a teacher.
Mine is, too.
Yes, sir.
I work in education. I've seen them all.
But, you know, what I was going to say is that the idea is that because when a person walks into me, a classroom, and says, you know, they're a teacher and I'm going to teach you, no. That person, the same thing with anything we do, has to say or suggest or recommend or present or submit that, listen, I want to know what is it that you want to know. I want to help you know it. And you create a sponge, like a vacuum. And that person, if you can create that vacuum, you can't make a person learn, but you can create a thirst, a hunger. If you can do that, that person will soak up. And she was telling me just today she was saying, this is her school year's out. These kids were 10th graders, I think. And she said they were saying, you know, I didn't even think I would get this close to graduating because she won't give up on them. I mean, and she's just so invested. It's not like, you know, like, well, I know you can do it. I told her, don't tell her, you know, let them think they know they can do it. Don't you go and tell them, I know you can do it, because that takes all of everything to demands from them. Let them know that they can do it and teach them how to do it. Because if you go in there, oh, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. You're totally absorbing all of their ability to invest in themselves, if I'm making any sense.
Look, this is in Georgia, high school students here have to pass an equivalency test before they're allowed to graduate.
Right.
Now, who do you blame? Do you blame the students or do you blame the teachers?
See, it's a system, brother. See, listen, I'm telling you, when I say that we have such a diverse obstacle, what I mean is the system was designed for us to fail initially. The law enforcement system, the judicial system, the educational system. And what everything will get you until you recognize that you are an essential component in the quote-unquote system. Once you recognize and accept, oh, I am an essential part of the system, so let me do what I need to do to be more functional. Because there's, you're dealing with a lot of teachers that come from different backgrounds. Their backgrounds has to be invested in I'm going to just break it down like this. If they come from an Anglo background, you are competition. My grandson's competition for their grandchildren, for their children, for their aunt, nieces, nephews. And they on a level inside themselves, they may not even be aware of it. They know that. So they have to invest in my grandson's failure unless my grandson has an advocate. And he could step in. And there are so many children that have been bombarded and taken advantage of at such an early age that they really haven't. They take kids that don't have the psychological weaponry, the defense mechanisms that they can withstand the onslaught of these well-educated individuals. And most of these people are clinically educated, in my opinion. They don't have an emotional investment.
Exactly.
Because, you see what I'm saying? And so once we see that and we understand it, then we know how to go in and address it. See, I didn't say attack. See, when you say attack, then people get defensive. You address it. Same objective, just different set of words. You know what I'm saying? So we have to learn to present different approaches, different angles, different aspects, different perspectives. And it's not beyond our capacity to do that, in my opinion, but because to me we have tremendous ability that we haven't even began to realize, you know, because, you know, we've just been in an environment where that it suggests that we're incapable, we're incompetent, you know, and this is where people are beginning. I mean, when they look at, you know, let me say, our president, this dude just bumped glasses with the Queen of England. I mean, you know, there are billions of Obamas out here.
Yes, love
billions.
It.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, that's not the only
Obama
out here.
Don't talk about my friend.
You know, we all subject to the same scrutiny.
Say, huh?
We
you
all
what?
Subject to the same scrutiny that he was. It's just
not
on a different level.
There are millions of us out here that are just as capable and competent. But until you realize it, your value and understand it, accept it, and internalize it, then we're going to continue to be vulnerable. I can't look for the world to pat me on the back, but I can look for other people to help me establish my self-esteem, develop my value. And that's where we, you know, the people who are out here and aware and are involved, that's what we do. And you know, and it's not at, some, because we've been ill-affected. This has been a default society that was specifically oriented toward Anglo success.
Yeah.
That was their default position.
But check this out. You know, I went on an interview the other day.
Uh-huh.
This half a white sister asked me three times, have I ever been arrested for any felonies?
You know what?
I'm sitting here thinking, you know, what the, you know, what is this white boy's problem?
No. You know what you do? You already know where he's at. You already know him. You got him in a box right there. There he is. That's the total. He has no levity, no latitude. That's his mental position, and he has to. That's the only thing he can depend on. Because
but you know what?
He'd be totally
Can I say something?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Because when people say that it's the society's fault, and you know the white man made him do it, and
yeah,
you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, I just don't agree with that. I don't agree because I see it every day. These children, they know right from wrong. I do understand that sometimes you are a product of your environment. But when you get a certain age, you know right from wrong. That white man, and you know, he did not hold a gun to your head and tell you to sell drugs to your mother. Nobody made you do that. You did that because that was a conscious decision that you made to do it. So stop blaming the government for everything that you do. Because you can't blame the government for... Huh?
I disagree with that. You know, that
I know you do. I know you do, James.
Oliver Noah. You know how this whole cocaine epidemic got started? Mm-hmm. See, back in the day, see, the United States was fighting this war against the Contras.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what happened was when the President Reagan, he stopped funding the war, what Oliver Dornier would start importing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the cocaine epidemic got started. You know where he put that cocaine? In South Central Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the poorest communities on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But so, here's the deal with the cocaine thing. I'm going to tell you, look this term up, neuro-linguistic programming. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. Here's where it is. Is that you have these receptors and so forth and synapse. I learned this little stuff when I was in the treatment center and so forth. But the point of it is when you have an environment that's dismal, then you have a desire to escape.
Yeah.
And drugs satiate you to a point that debilitates you. It gives you a euphoria. You know, do you feel like you're flying? You feel like you know. But there are other alternatives. I'm sorry. Do what? What you say? What? I missed it. What?
Go ahead. Say what you're saying.
Go ahead, Al.
But what I'm saying is that you know there you what you do is you replace that because it's got a lot to do with your adrenal gland. Believe it or not. Now, that's me now. Y'all tell me, you know, cuss me out. When you finally say, what? You crazy. No, but, you know, it is because it's you know, your adrenal gland, it secretes this.
Oh, Lord.
Huh?
I ain't said words.
But you know, all right, say, for instance, cocaine. You got neuroreceptors, neurotransmitters. And the neuroreceptors, once they get hit with cocaine, they just be like wide open, like give me more, and you know you can't recreate that particular feeling any other way until you get rid of that, and it's not only a mental dependence, it's a physical dependence, and it becomes a psychological and emotional, and it becomes an environmental dependence because when you're getting high, there's a certain kind of music you like, certain kind of people you like to be around. You know, and there are certain rituals that go along with that process. You know, like back in the day, you know, you roll it up, thump it, lick, you know, roll it up, lick, and it's all, you, I can still picture the ritual aspect. So if you take the drug away, the body still craves that complete continuum. And it's no way, because when I hear the music and I'm around the friends, I hear the conversation, the only thing missing is, you know. So then I have to replace that. I have to be aware that that's essential in my life. Then I go about finding ways to replace it. I was fortunate that I could do that because I wasn't.
I'm sorry? No, I'm sorry. I just was giving somebody some info about you.
But anyway, you know, so you know, there are so, like I say, this is not a simple thing that we're addressing. And Sister Rabia addresses some aspects of it. Sister Sincere discussed some aspects of it. Brother James, your input was on some aspects of it. That just shows you how complicated this process is, but it's not insurmountable. I mean, the potential to be successful in addressing it is, to me, tremendous. It's tremendous because when I see my brothers and sisters at any age or stage, I'm thinking, man, you know, I just see power. And also what I see is less the surface tension, social surface tension, where that, you know, there are people who are more not really tolerant, but who understand that they are just a part of life. They're not a special part as it was that we had to compete with many years ago. People would talk about our lips, our hair, and look like you put your hands, you know, because people are wearing, they looking like, hey, this is what it is. We are, you know, we who we are. You know, we, you don't define us by how our hair looks. It's spiked, it's this, it's cut, it's mullet. You know, and so we are finding a lot more individuals who are less, have a less of an aversion. And so then there is the potential to develop relationships that would allow us to tremendously progress in every area and aspect to me of our social, psychological, emotional, political, financial. I mean, there is just tremendous opportunity, but we have to not think that we're incapable or undeserving. We have to realize that we are very deserving, very capable, all of us. And we just have to come together and enjoy the accomplishments that we make, you know. And to me, that's where we're at with this. And you know, and you know, Sister Rabia has already done the more or less the pattern. You know, I didn't do it, but then so. Can I emulate it? Will it? But then I don't want to do it if it's not going to benefit her, you know. But by the same token, because she, whatever she taught me, then I'll learn some other stuff. I may develop into some other area, and then I can provide some assistance, you know, that would be fundamental and necessary or essential or potentially beneficial for her or for Sister Miss Sincere or for Brother James. I mean, we, you know, I don't have a fear of anybody. Because I don't mind you standing on my shoulders. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care. I can walk behind you. I can follow just as well as I can lead or walk beside you. It don't make me a bit of difference. I ain't mad at you because I'm not watching you worrying what you're going to do, how much further ahead of me. Because I don't have time. I don't get paid to watch you and be mad at you. I'll be looking at my little talent, trying to just whip it up and make it happen. You know what I'm saying? So, but as long as I'm looking at Brother James and look at him, he thinks he's something. He, you know, or Sister Rabia, or Sister Miss Sincere. You know, I'm wasting my time, my money. I'm wasting everything I got because I'm so focused on you and trying to, you know, bring you down. This is what people do: bring me down or you down to a level that they feel comfortable, rather than me raising myself up. Because when I start raising up, then you go higher, I go higher. We all go higher. But, you know, I'm conditioned to tear you down. Because, you know, and I'm thinking, like, I'm doing a good job, you know. Hey, let me knock you down. Let me talk about you. Well, I have to get you down to a level, because I'm not going to perform at any level higher than that. So I got to bring you down to a level that I feel comfortable. I can be condescending. I can look down on you. No, I don't want to. I don't want to crumb your hustle. I don't want to knock your flow. I want to rise to the level that you are. Then you take off and go further. I'm going right behind you, going further. You write a book, I read it. You know? I mean, you give a seminar, I'm listening, taking notes. You know? Because I got the kind of respect, I got the kind of value for you that I, you know, and for myself. You know? I don't have time to walk around with you around my neck every day resenting you. Oh, grunting. Oh, they make me mad. Oh, you know? Nah, I ain't got time. I'm trying to construct myself. I ain't got. I'm not in the demolition business. I'm in the construction business. You know.
I like that one.
No, you know what?
Can I just say something?
Please, you know better.
You know, real quick, it goes back to something that I always say is that we have to change our way of thinking,
mm-hmm.
and we have to show and teach children how to change their way of thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if they're just thinking, you know, if they change their way of thinking, then their behavior will change.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
as
so cognitively, right, cognitively, it's going to be different for them,
mm-hmm.
because their thinking is going to be different, so their behavior is going to change. But if
mm-hmm.
we don't teach them how to change their way of thinking, then it's not going to change. Because you could tell them, don't sell drugs, don't smoke
yeah.
crack, don't rape people, don't rob people,
mm-hmm.
but you got to show them the skills. Like, there are different, and I teach this every day, there are different skills that I have to implement into these inmates to change
mm-hmm.
their way of thinking after thinking a certain way for 20 and 30 years.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But we got to start with the children, because for some of the people that are 50 and 60, it may be too late because they're older now. You know, it may not be late. Sometimes a light bulb may just go off. But we have
mm-hmm.
to get those children when they're young. And that's what one of the other things that, you know, that SMART, you know, tries to do is to, you know, have little support groups for children. You know, these children have something to say, you know, but they're always getting shut down. A teacher, you have 40 children in the classroom, so the
mm-hmm.
teacher's not going to listen to all 40 children, but these
mm-hmm.
children have something to say. And
yep.
I think as parents, as facilitators, as teachers, as caregivers,
mm-hmm.
we need to listen to these children.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. Very good point.
Let
and
me
you
tell
know
y'all
what?
Something
you
like
can
quick.
Get a whole lot from.
You got 3 minutes, y'all. 3 minutes,
well,
but
I tell you what she just said, she said a mouthful, and she
right.
has a very good point. Because if you listen to those kids, they will tell you what they see, what
oh,
they've
yeah.
been through,
you better believe
and
it.
What is going on in their home, wrong
You're right.
or right, they're going to tell you.
That's
okay?
right.
Because I know, you know what, I know one, he said, well, I'm going to have a family. I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, how you going to take them? You need a job. I don't need a job. I said, yes, you do. I said, what you going to do? I can shoot dice. I said,
yep.
oh, no. I said, well, even to do that, you need money. Well, I could sell weed. I said, oh, no, it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm.
They see this.
Yep.
They see this. They live it every day.
Ms.
That's their home. That's what they do at home.
That's their
so
life.
That is their life. You listen to listen to those kids, they will tell you what they need.
Ms.
And
Ms.
while
they're
talking, they're going to tell
yeah.
you how you can help them. They'll tell you.
Brother James, I'm going to have to let you close it out, brother. We got about a minute and a half or so.
Well,
Sister Rabia and Mr. Sir, please come back again.
Sure.
I sure will.
Right. I'm sorry, Brother James. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, I'm just glad I could be part of this little conversation today. There is hope in the world. I see that other light behind the people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe we can get this grassroots thing started. You know, who knows? We'll just pray on it and keep our hopes up.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, well, let me tell y'all what. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, yep, we're going to pray on it.
Y'all got to get back together now.
Yeah, I shall return.
I'll return,
too. You got to get back together now.
Absolutely.
Just shoot me an email. Rebecca has to get in touch with me.
Okay. Well, if you get a chance next Thursday, let's do it again.
Anyway, I'm going to tell y'all, I'm going to tell y'all a good night, and God bless. And y'all got anything to say closing out?
Save the children.
Amen.
the intruders said it best.
There you go.
Save
Amen.
The children.
All right.
Good night.
All right.
Have a good
Peace
night.
Respect. God bless y'all. Good night.
Good night,
y'all. Thank y'all
God
so much.
God bless you
Appreciate
all, too.
It.
You're welcome.
I think you're ready to get an invite. You're missing out of a meeting.
I'm heading. All right, talk to y'all later. God bless. Night-night.
Okay, good night.
Good night. We're going to send you an invite.